Welcome to the Inside Perry, Georgia podcast. It's 2024 and we're celebrating the city of Perry's 200th birthday. This year, we're partnering with the Perry Area Historical Society to give an inside look at the tales of Perry's past. We're delving into the archives to uncover the stories that truly make Perry a unique and special place. Today's tale is narrated by Miss Ellie Loudermilk, president of the Perry Area Historical Society.
Our story for today involves modes of transportation used in Perry, Georgia, and the story must begin with horses, mules, buggies, and wagons, with some early city ordinances that governed those. Some early ordinances stated that the mayor and the alderman had the power to take and impound any horses running at large in said town. It also stated, be it ordained by the mayor and alderman that any person who shall fasten a horse, mule, or ox, or any other animal to a tree or a box around a tree, or to any fence or building in the town, shall be fined 50 cents for each offense. And another ordinance stated that each one-horse dray, wagon, or cart hauling in the town, or buggy kept for hire, had to pay an annual license of $5. But if it was a two-horse dray, wagon, cart, etc., then it was $10 for an annual license. Before there was modern transportation, horses and mules were used to move buildings. Logs were placed beneath the building, and horses were used to pull the logs. We have documented 28 structures in the city limits that have been moved, many using horses or mules. The Beckham House is an example of how even two-story houses can be moved in this way. Horse-drawn carriages were among the most popular forms of transportation between the years of 1815 and 1915, with 1910 being the year that automobiles nationally finally outnumbered horses and buggies. Several of the older residents remember that Dr. Cater made house calls using his two-seater horse-drawn carriage. Others remember Willie Prophet, a resident of the New Hope community, and his wagon and mule as they traveled the town every summer selling garden produce. Horse-drawn wagons were used for hauling freight, harvesting farm crops, and transportation. Early businesses included several large horse barns in Perry for shoeing the horses and mules, and one large carriage shop for repair. Stagecoaches began routes through Perry as early as 1846 for passengers and mail delivery. The Alligator Line left Macon for Mobile via Perry three times each week. This route stopped at the 14-room Pattishaw House on Macon Road, where both food and overnight lodging was offered. The story is told of John Henry Hose from South Carolina, who came through Perry via stagecoach and stopped at the Pattishaw home. He decided he liked Perry, so he stayed, built a house, and married the Pattishaw's daughter, Laura. Another route ran from Buzzard's Roost on the Okmulgee to Traveler's Rest on the Flint and stopped at the Liberty Hotel on Carroll Street. Tom Thumb, the famous circus performer with Barnum and Bailey, stopped overnight here. The third route ran from Hawkinsville to Knoxville, stopping at Hainville, Perry, and Fort Valley. The stagecoach was driven by John Gordon from Perry, who had previously been co-owner of a mercantile store on Carroll Street known as Day and Gordon. When the stagecoach approached a stop along the route, there was the thundering beat of hoofs and a blare of the horn. Everyone knew the stagecoach was arriving, and those who attended the horses and those who attended the passengers knew that expediency was needed to keep the stagecoach on schedule. The coach traveled at an average speed of 5 to 7 miles per hour, and the fare was about 3 cents a mile. By 1888, the Georgia Southern and Florida Railroad had completed its line through Houston County and offered passengers a faster way to travel from Macon to Palatka, Florida. Perry residents could catch the train in Kathleen, Grovania, or Elko to go shopping in Macon, which was 39 miles away, and return home the same evening. A round trip on the train to Macon from Elko cost $1.45. The best known of the trains passing through Houston County was engine number 15 South and engine number 16 North, also known as the Shoe Fly. Excursions on the Shoe Fly became common, especially for day trips to Beach Haven, a recreational facility built by the Georgia Southern and Florida Railroad in 1889. This park was about 3 miles east of Haneville that included a picnic ground, pavilion, reception room for the ladies, and spring-fed water for swimming. By 1913, the Hawkinsville and Western Railroad was completed, and a double daily schedule between Hawkinsville and Perry was begun. Now the passengers could come to and go from Perry on 4 different trains each day. This line took 2 years to build, but by 1922, it had entered receivership and was ordered to be sold. By 1917, the first automobile agency in Perry was set up by Ford Motor Company, with W.C. Wright and Sons of Fort Valley as owner and A.M. Anderson Sr. from Perry as manager. Mr. Anderson became the owner in 1919 and continued its operation in the same building at the corner of Commerce and Ball Streets. When Anderson died in January 1925, the dealership was purchased by O.B. Muse and his son Pascal. By 1927, this dealership had been sold to A.L. Luce, who built his first Bluebird bus in this building. Cecil Moody began as a mechanic in this dealership, but he became owner sometime between 1926 and 1939. He grew the business so much that this corner became known as the Ford Center, because he did business on 3 of the 4 corners. The dealership was on one corner, the used car lot on another, and his service station was on the 3rd corner. The Union Motor Company was organized in 1926 by Charles Gray and James Harper Short as an agency for Pontiac and Oakland automobiles. A short time later, the Union Motor Company became agents for Chevrolet, and they discontinued handling other makes of cars. The first Dodge agency in Perry began operation in 1933 by McClendon Auto Company. There were many brands of cars sold in Perry in the early to mid-1900s. The Ford Model T, the Maxwell, Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oakland, Dodge, Rambler, and the Whippet Coupe, a product of the Willis Overland Company, could be purchased in Perry. When the 10 Lizzies were just coming to Perry and only a few people were sporty enough to try one, they used some peculiar gasoline pumps. The pumps were housed in a little wooden shed and would deliver a few gallons at a time, either through a hose or into a can, which then was poured into the Model T. Dr. Holtzclaw was credited with having the first gasoline pump outside of his drugstore and doctor's office. Mr. T.D. Mason also had a shed behind his house to store gasoline. In those days, the problem of getting 5 gallons of gas into a car was pretty serious. Everybody on the front seat had to get out. The seat had to be removed so the gasoline man could get to the tank. He took off the tank cap, went into the pump shed, unreeled the hose, went back into the pump house and started pumping until the clock-like register showed the desired gallons. Then he came out, reeled in the hose, put the cap on the tank, replaced the seat, and pronounced everything in readiness for the riders to return to the front seat. The streets and roads through Perry were still unpaved until the advent of the Dixie Highway. The Dixie Highway Association was formed in 1915, and a goal was set to build the first north-south paved highway in the United States without federal or state money or any regulations. There was enough support for the project that a Dixie Highway West and a Dixie Highway East were planned. The highways ran parallel with each other from the Canadian border to Miami, with connecting highways between the routes. The Georgia Connector became known as the Central Dixie Highway. It departed the Dixie Highway west at Macon, continued south through Perry, then headed southeast to Waycross and on to Jacksonville, Florida, where it joined the Dixie Highway east. In 1919, Georgia's Highway Department placed a high priority on paving the road from Perry to Valdosta, which was designated as U.S. 41. Advertising in automobile clubs began, hotels and motor courts began to rise, campgrounds were created, and a red light was added at the intersection of Ball and Carroll Streets, where two national highways crossed. A motorcade from Perry, celebrating the opening of the first continuous paved road of 149 miles, got underway at the sound of a pistol fired by J. Alva Davis, the chairman of Houston County Commissioners. There were several hundred automobiles that took place in this giant motorcade. Transportation has continued to be an important part of the infrastructure of Perry and was further enhanced when I-75 was opened in the 1960s. Today, about 70,000 cars pass through Perry on the interstate, but many others come to visit, eat in our restaurants, find lodging, and enjoy our events. Gone are the horses, except in parades. Gone are the horse barns and the carriage shop, but the scenes of yesteryear are still available at the Perry Area Historical Museum. And that concludes our story for today.
Thanks for joining us for the Inside Perry, Georgia podcast. We're celebrating all year long in 2024. Visit the show notes to discover the exciting things happening this year. Special thanks again to the Perry Area Historical Society for their time, dedication, and passion for Perry's history. Visit the Perry Area Historical Museum. More information about that museum is in the show notes. If you like Inside Perry, subscribe and share the podcast with friends and family. The podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. Visit us at perry-ga.gov for more information about the city of Perry. We hope to see you around in our amazing community, where Georgia comes together.